I've entitled the sermon this morning, Here Comes the Bride, Genesis chapter 24. And here's a thought for us this morning. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Thank you, Father, for this message that I'm about to give. Lord, would you bless it? Lord, and would you cause it to prosper in the hearts and the minds of my family here? And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, I dated my wife for a couple of years before we got married. What was it, 2 or 3? How many was that?
5 years, 8 months, and 2 days.
There we go. Just a couple of years. And I did not even prime her on that because she knows. She could probably even figure up a couple of hours and minutes in there. But we had a long courtship, and I even asked her to marry me about 2 years into this thing, and she said, "Yes, I'll marry you, but you need to finish college." So I had to finish college. The day that I was getting married, actually the next day, I was supposed to take an exam for summer school, and I had to get permission to take it earlier. So I went in and talked to the dean, and I said, "Hey, I'm one class short, and it's going to, of all things, it was a swimming class. They required it at the college I was at. They required you to take a swimming class, and you had to take a written test on it too. I don't even remember a thing about the test, but I went there and I told him, I said, "Hey, I'm getting married, on this Friday, on the 30th. And I said, "I have an exam on the 1st. And I said, "I won't be here. I'll be on my honeymoon. I don't care what you say, but I would like permission to take this test early." And so he chuckled and said, "Oh, I think we can call that a valid reason." So I ended up taking my test on Friday, and got married that night, and went on my honeymoon. And you know what? I even passed the test. So got out of college, got my diploma and everything. Now, one of the things I want to talk about this morning is, sometimes whenever we read God's word, we get a surface understanding of it. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. We had the cartoon there, and that was a bookworm for those who couldn't figure out what that was. The bookworm gave gave the characters Abraham, his servant, Rebecca. The father was Bethuel, and in Bethuel, Laban was a brother. He wasn't even announced. But you know what, Isaac? And guess what? He had, or the video had most of the stuff right. But there were a couple of things that were kind of smoothed over and or left out, for the sake of brevity or for the sake of the age. And sometimes whenever we're reading God's word, I think we're just getting to the point we want to get through it sometimes. Or we're not reading to find. And so a lot of times whenever you finish up, I don't know, I'll be the one who's honest here this morning. Sometimes whenever I finish reading, I say, "What in the world did I just read?" I think we're all guilty of that. And so part of this, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through a very familiar story. I mean, how many of you have heard the story about Isaac and Rebecca? 99.9 looks like. Okay. Now, those of you who don't know the story of Isaac and Rebecca, you just had the thumbnail version of it up there. So all of us have at least a brief knowledge of what's going on. Now, I'm going to have to fast forward us through our earthworm there. There we go. Not earthworm, bookworm. Here comes the bride. What we had there was what pastors often call a retelling of the passage. The events are basically right, but all we have is a surface understanding of what happened. Now, every time that you read your Bible, if you want clarity, you should at least read every chapter 3 times. First time is just to get through it. Second time is you start looking for things. And the third time, You let the, you know, you're letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. One of the things that we should do, especially when we're reading the Old Testament, is look for New Testament parallels. Things that we can find that happened in the New Testament, or if we know that this particular thing was referenced in the New Testament, then what you need to do is you need to begin to look at it and see why. Now, the whole Bible is important, but when Jesus references things, or when the Apostle Paul references different things, we need to go back and we need to understand that story and how it relates to the New Testament. Because we're New Testament Christians, right? I don't think there's such a thing as an Old Testament Christian. Kind of an oxymoron on that one. So, you know, some people say that Jesus is in every passage of the Bible. And I had a friend, good Baptist minister. Matter of fact, most of my friends tend to be Baptist pastors. And, you know, we were talking about interpreting portions of Scripture. And he said, Jesus is in every passage. And I said, really? And so, you know, I said, well, give me some examples. So, he went to a couple of Old Testament stories and filled in how Jesus was in them. I thought, wow, that's something. And so I pulled out my New Testament there, and I flipped over to the Epistle of Jude. How many of you have read the Epistle of Jude? Man, I always said to put Jude before Revelation so that, you know, Revelation would lighten it up a little bit. Oh, and I said, Pablo, how is it that Jesus is in this part where it's talking about false prophets and about, you know, about judgment to come? And he says, it's easy. It's like, you need to be a Christian so that you don't have to suffer all the things that these people are going to suffer. That's what Jesus has found out. I'm like, you know, Paul, I think you're stretching it a little bit. Let's take and let's look in the Bible and let's find out how these concepts and how these things relate to the New Testament. And if we find Jesus in there too. Now, I think we find Jesus in this one, because this is an awesome passage of Scripture. And so we're going to do a little bit of allegory, talk a little bit of allegory, take an allegorical look at this. So, Abraham, Father Abraham, God has identified himself as the Father. Isaac, we found out last, what is he? He's the beloved son. Seems God had a beloved son too, didn't he? All right, now in this one, the servant, I think he was Eliezer, because we find him listed a couple chapters back as the most trusted servant. So I would think that Eliezer is sent on a journey to find a bride for the son. Eliezer is going to be a type of the Holy Spirit. I think some of y'all are already starting to make a connection on that one. Sarah is the nation of Israel. We looked in Galatians and we saw that. She is a type of the nation of Israel. Then we see Rebecca. Rebecca is the bride. That's a type of the church. We are the bride of Christ. Laban and the other relatives there, well, that's the old family. That's the world. So, you know, let's let the allegory begin. So in God's word, we look at here. Abraham says to his servant, go and find a bride. We know that God has sent forth his Holy Spirit into the world, and that the Holy Spirit has the task of convicting souls and bringing people to Jesus. Just like Eliezer was to look and find the young woman and bring her to Isaac. The Holy Spirit's job, well, he said, when he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And Jesus even said of the Holy Spirit, he says that he will proceed, he says the Holy Spirit will proceed from the Father. He's the Spirit of truth, and he will bear witness of me. Wow, we kind of looked at that little thumbnail there. The servant goes, and what does he do? He tells Rebecca. He tells her family. He bears witness of what was going on. Now, when we look in there, as Rebecca, she's the bride. My friends, as the church, we are the bride of Christ. Matter of fact, Paul would make this connection in Ephesians. He would tell husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. And so, as the relationship between husband and wives, it is linked in Scripture to the relationship of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And you know what? Jesus wants his church to be holy and without blemish. The bride, Paul would say, I have a divine jealousy for you. I have betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Where does the bride come from? Well, we saw it went back to Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia is a type of the world. Mesopotamia is, you know what? It's where Gentiles come from. Because the Shem and the Semites come from Abraham. Or should say, Abraham is part of this, is part of the tribe of Shem, or the people of Shem, I should say. And so in going back, he's looking for a Gentile bride to bring back to become part of the promised family of God. Now the old family, that's Nahor. And we look and we see them. They're excited for Rebecca to go, aren't they? But there's one thing that, well, didn't mention in our little cartoon version of it. They said, hey, we want you to stay 10 days. Yes, go and marry Isaac. Go and become the mother of nations. But you know what? Stay 10 days. Do you know that according to Daniel, that there are 10 horns representing 10 Gentile kings that rule the world? Do you know that Jesus told a parable of 10 virgins waiting on the bridegroom, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish? So, you know, I think we can find Christ in the story, can't we? The old family. You know, we have been called to be out of the world, haven't we? In a way, we have to leave our old family to become part of the new family of God. You, my friends, you're the bride of Christ. And we have been told to leave the world behind. And that's not always easy, is it? We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Matter of fact, we're going to bring John the Baptist into this one. It says, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bride who stands there and hears and rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is complete. What's the bridegroom doing? Well, he's building a house. We look at it and we find there where Isaac had actually gone out into another part, probably to do business dealings or to check on the cattle or the investments that he had. But what was he doing? He was preparing a place for his bride. Jesus would say to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place to you, I will come again and take you there that you may be with me also. The disciples were actually confused when they heard that, because this is what the groom would say of the bride. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And finally, the bride of Christ is united with the groom. Let us rejoice and exult and give the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready, and it was granted her to clothe her in fine linen, bright and pure. You know what? When we look in the story of Isaac and Rebecca, it becomes a type of the bride of Christ. You, my friends, are found in that story. Now, you don't discover this if all you do is read through the Bible as quickly as possible. You don't find these parallels If all you do is make sure that you've checked off the box of, hey, you know, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, and I have hope. There's nothing wrong with that. My dad has been reading the Bible in a year, probably for 50 years, and he still does it. Matter of fact, he's gotten so good at it, he can read the Bible through in about 3 or 4 months. But the thing about it is, if you don't slow down and read your Bible for all it's worth, you're going to miss some things. And so this sermon today is basically is an exhortation from you, because if all you do, if the only time you get your Bible knowledge or Bible food is here at church, my friends, you are anemic. Man, you are starving. And if all you do is read your Bible as quickly as possible, you're getting fast food. You're not getting nourished like you're supposed to. You need to slow down. Read and reread. Listen to your Bible. Read your Bible. Read it in a couple different translations. Pray for the Lord to open your eyes. How many of you got Bibles that got little letters and numbers on words? Yeah, look in the middle there. Look those up, and it'll tell you where this is found in another part of the Bible. But if you don't slow down, you're going to miss the bride. That's what I want you guys to do today, is to learn about the bride. Now, we're going to go through the story, and we're going to put ourselves in here, and we're going to learn a little bit more, and we're going to see what else we discover along the way. Our text. Now, Abraham was old and advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who was in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But will go to my country and my kindred, that to take a wife for my son Isaac. So he's sending out probably Eliezer. I like to use names, so we're going to call him Eliezer. If it's not Eliezer, well, then it's another servant. He says, I want you to swear. You know, take a solemn oath. This is not just like, you know, I promise. No, this is one of the ones, with God's help, I'm going to do what you've called me to do, Master. Man, that's something we need to learn to get a hold of, isn't it? I'm going to do what you called me to do, Lord. I'm going to swear. He says, I want you to go out. You're going to find a bride. Why? Because, well, the Canaanites, no local girls there. They're from the wrong branch of people. They're Ham's descendants. They're idolaters. They sacrifice children. They are not the promise, they are not the clan through which the promise is going to be brought into fruition. I need you to go back to the hometown. Go back to the right line, the line of Shem, the line that is blessed. And take a wife from there. It's important whenever we form relationships that we are not bound together with people who do not believe, do not have the faith that we have. The right friends, the right relationships. So, Eliezer says, perhaps a woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham gives a very reasoned reply. Don't take Isaac back there. My friends, never go back to the beginning. God called you, He saved you, and He wants you to go forward. God made a promise to Abraham. Through you, the whole world is going to be blessed. And I want you to, you're going to inherit this land. God makes His promises. Abraham says that the God whom I serve, will send His angel with you, and He will be with you. Just like we have the Holy Spirit who goes with us. Just like we won't talk any more about the angel of the Lord until He appears again. But you know, here's what He said. He says, if, you know, I want you to swear, but if you can't find the right woman, you're released from your vow. do your best. Well, those are some good words to take whenever the Lord calls us to go, to do, and to be. So what happens? Well, he gathers up ten camels. He takes provisions for the trip. And you know, sometimes we take a look. Okay, so he went back into Mesopotamia to Nahor. That's 400 miles. On a trip like that on a donkey, it's gonna take you at least 3 to 4 weeks if you don't get lost. And so at the end of going across the desert, crossing the Euphrates River, what does he do? He prays. That's a good thing to do when you start those ventures, isn't it? And you know what? He prays a very specific prayer. Oh Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming to draw out water. Let the young women to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink. And who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one with whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying specifically, is there? Sometimes we pray in the general a whole lot, don't we? Lord, bless them! How about, Lord, help them to find a job that they are fit for, that is good for them? We say, you know, Lord, bless them with wisdom. Father, for the proceedings that are coming up, Lord, give them the knowledge that they need to navigate the legal system that they're about to get entrenched in. You see, there's nothing wrong with specific prayer. Now, so what happens? Well, all of a sudden, you know, before he finishes praying, a beautiful woman shows up. She's got a watering pot on her head. So he says, wow, okay. Good looking girl. She's got the utensil for drawing water. And so he says, hey, can I have a favor? Would you give me a little bit of water to drink? And she says, all right. But you know what? Not just you, but I'm going to water your camels too. She exceeded the request. She actually, it was exactly as Eliezer had prayed. God answers it. And you know what's funny? And this happens to a lot of us. You know, God answers our prayer and we're surprised. Wow. God, this happened. It does. It's like the man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. God just answered every bit of his prayer, and he is like, okay, Lord, is it, yeah, I got to find out. My friends, it's okay to be surprised when God answers your prayers. Because he does that. Oh. And the man gazed in silence. So he said, what did he do? He gave her jewelry. And he says, and let me read my notes here so I know what I'm saying here. He says, who are you? He says, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom was born in Nahor. And she says, and we have both straw and fodder and room for you to spend the night. Not only it was like, here's water. Hey, but come and spend the night. And we have food for your pack animals and all those things on there. Oh, it's time to give glory to the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen. Exactly as he had asked. My friends, there is nothing wrong with praying specifically. But you know what? When God answers your prayer, you need to learn to give him the glory and the praise for what he's done. We always need to be grateful when God answers prayer. And you know what? It's okay to let other people know too. So what happens? There's breaking news. Now, the one thing that nobody understood, all the commentators that I read and everything, is you know what Rebecca does? It says she ran to her mother's house. Her mother's family. I would have thought she'd have run home to dad there. Which reminds me of a bad joke, which I probably shouldn't tell because it'll get me in trouble, but I'm going to do it anyway. How do you spread information? Three main ways. A little bit of a dated joke here. Well, there's the telephone. There's the television. And then there's a telewoman. I think that's why she went to grandma's house or her mom's side. She wanted everybody to know. So, but what happens? She goes there. She comes back, and all of a sudden, her brother is there. And so Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban. Laban ran out towards the man to the spring. As soon as he saw the rings and the bracelet on his sister's arm and heard the words of Rebecca, his sister, thus the man spoke to me. He went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camel spring. And he says, oh, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I prepared the house and prepare a place for your animals. Oh, everybody in the whole village would know by this time, wouldn't they? So they bring out the best for him, and he doesn't even want to eat. He says, all right. He says, I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master and has become great. He has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male servants and female servants and servants and camels and donkeys. Get all those things out there. He tells the story of his master sending him there. But what's he doing there? He is setting it up so that they'll know that whenever he asks for the bride, that there is a means to provide for this young lady. Not just a poor man or somebody who is kind of made it. But this servant has been set with a specific task of bringing the right one home. But he tells the story. He says, but he said, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from the clans of from my father's house. He tells of the prayer that he prayed. He tells of the encounter that he had. And he says, the Lord has answered my prayer. Even before the prayer is completely answered, because the complete answer to that is they give the bride to the servant, and he takes her home. But once again, he speaks in faith. Now, this is not a case of name and claim it, but this is one when God begins to work in your behalf, you need to recognize what's going on. Sometimes we think, wow, you know, I must be pretty good here. You're not. Neither am I. God is working for you on your behalf in what he needs you to do. And then he says, now then, if you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Man, I'm not going to eat. I've told you the story. Here's all that I have. I've come to get a bride. He wants to know before anything else goes on. God's hand was with him. And you know what? It is okay whenever you're having your dealings with the world, with other Christians, with your family, for you to tell them, God is in this. It's a testimony. It shows your faith. It shows that you are committed and that you're not ashamed of who has sent you. So the men of the house, the father and the son, they both speak the same language. One says it. It just says that they spoke. He says, the thing has come from the Lord. We cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife to your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. Man, if you will bring God into your conversations, he'll bring what the Holy Spirit is doing as you have those conversations, as you go out into the marketplace, as you talk to your family, as you talk to your friends. You are opening up their heart to receive what you have. They have known each other for less than half an hour. And this is God's will. And it wasn't just because Eliezer was a good speaker. It was because he was walking in faith. And he was expressing his faith. And he was moving as he had been, as the Holy Spirit had called him to do. That's something we need to get a hold of. What does he do? Oh, it's not, hey, pass the potatoes now. He falls down and he worships the Lord in front of everybody. When Abraham's servant heard these words, he bowed himself to the earth before the Lord. Then the servant bought out jewelry and silver and gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave them to her brother and her mother, costly ornaments, and then they celebrated. God is with you when you are with him. You know what God's will for your life is? Then walk in the will of the Lord. Those things that you know that God wants us to do. Because whenever you walk with the Lord walks with you. And we discover what the Lord wants us to do whenever we slow down, as we turn those pages of the Bible, as we read and reread, and we begin to look, we begin to see depth, and we understand God's plan. You know what? God has a general plan for all of us, and it is found in God's Word. And we discover His general plan for us as we walk out what we find in those pages. And this, the specific will of God begins to manifest itself within us, walking in within the plan of the Lord. So now it's time to leave. But once again, we say, no. Hey, let her stay 10 days. Yeah, you're going to go. She's going to be a wealthy woman. We got all these gifts and everything here. But hey, I'll tell you what, let's just let her hang around for 10 more days. Say goodbye to grandpa and grandma and all the relatives and everything like that. Eliezer says, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my masters. And they said, let us call the young woman and ask her. Well, how many of you women would like it if your brother and your father arranged your marriage? Another Bible point here. You know, as we read God's Word, there are things that are descriptive. This story is a descriptive story. And there are passages that are prescriptive that says you need to do this. As we learn to read God's Word, as we slow down, we come across these narratives, we'll receive things in here that we're wondering, is this, you ask yourself, is this something I'm supposed to do or something I'm supposed to understand? Passages like this describes what happens. Now, Dad, that doesn't mean you get to say, hey, I get to pick out, me and the boy get to pick out the girl's husband. You don't want to do that. But as we read God's Word, we see how things were done. And we gather wisdom and knowledge from that. And when they called Rebekah in and said to her, will you go with this man? She said, I will go. And she's leaving everything. And she's going to a place she's never been. Kind of like whenever we've accepted Jesus and the Holy Spirit begins to lead us and guide us in some ways and some places that we've never been before. Jesus will not take you if you're not willing to go. Some of us want to know, where are we going? We're going to Socorro. We're going to gain favor with the community. And God's going to bless us. And let's go. How are we going to do it? We'll figure it out as we go along. We read God's Word. We look at the precepts and the principles that are found in there. And then we say, you know what? It's time to leave. It's time to go. It's time to sow. It's time to harvest. And we get that from slowing down, reading God's Word, doing what His general will is, and along the way, learning what His specific will for our life is. We're almost done. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening. And he lifted up his eyes, and behold, he saw camels coming. It has been 12 weeks. He sent the servant out. He has been doing business. He's been checking on his flocks and other things out there. He has been preparing for the bride. 3 months. He's never seen her. But he knows that his father has sent the most trusted servant to go out and to procure a bride for him. Can you imagine how the heart was beating? Yeah, marriages were arranged back and then, but think about that. Think about the first date that you had with the person that you ended up marrying, who's here today, or maybe. Wow, your heart was racing. Sense of anticipation. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and she saw Isaac. She dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "This is my master." So she took her veil and she covered herself. And Isaac brought her to his mother's tent, brought her into Sarah, his mother's tent, and took Rebecca, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. Oh, beautiful story. And I like this. And he loved her. An arranged marriage from someone 600 miles away, 3 months in getting there. And the trusted servant brings it, the bride, home. And they love each other. You see, whenever we're walking in the will of the Lord, all types of good things happen, don't they?
Amen.
Our takeaway from this, read your Bible. Read and reread your Bible. No more than just the facts. Some of you are don't be just Joe Friday. The facts are important. Some of y'all got that joke.
Yeah.
Number two, look for the deeper meaning. Find the bride of Christ. Find Jesus in the scripture. But you know what? Don't put him where he's not there. Learn to read your Bible. Learn to use discernment that the Holy Spirit has given you. Ask Jesus to lead you. And he will. Now from the story, commit everything to the Lord. If you're having trouble in one part of your life, commit that part of your life to the Lord. Commit everything. Everything. Lord, help me to be pleasing in everything I do. Lord, help me be pleasing in the way I interact with the cashier. Lord, help me be pleasing with the way I interact with the guy at the dump, with my mother-in-law, with my father-in-law. Commit everything to the Lord. And finally, do your searching for what the general will of God for your life is, or the specific will of what God, or what. Let me try that one more time in English. Not the broken English I'm speaking now. Do your searching within God's will. Within the general will. And know that as you are doing the general will of God, the specific will of God for your life will emerge. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Lord, help us to read our Bibles for all it's worth. Lord, and let your Holy Spirit give illumination to it. Now, Lord, thank you for the food that you have provided. Lord, we ask that you would bless it. Lord, and bless our time of fellowship. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.